What is up, you all out there in the universe? My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Welcome back to the Carolyn and Joe Show. How's everyone doing out there? How are you doing, Carolyn?
I think it's time to get up and go.
I think it's time to get up and go, too. Whenever you get, you know, whatever time you guys are listening to this show, I want all of you out there just to get up and go. What does get up and go actually mean?
But it means get motivated and get up and do something.
Yeah.
But first, listen to the podcast.
Yes, listen to the podcast, work on something.
Or you could, you could be working out while you listen to the podcast. You can be actually working on something on the computer, or you can be driving. You could actually be doing stuff while you listen to this podcast.
Is that usually what you're doing while you're listening to any other podcasts or radio shows out there? Just like the Carolyn and Joe Show that's sponsored by curls-studio.com. Go out there, go to curls-studio.com and go buy something, man. Buy some shirts. Buy some apparel, buy some comic books that Carolyn and I make. And after that, go to Stray Productions and ask for their services. They make this radio show right now that you're listening to.
They do sound, they do a lot of stuff. They make photography.
Yeah, they do movies. They do all types of stuff. All types of entertainment. They create characters. So Stray Productions and Curls.
StrayProductions.com.
Yeah, and Curls Studio. Go over
there. Curls-studio.com.
That's right. Go over there and check it out. Check us out.
Well, first of all, you can actually check us out in person. Sunday at Handmade Mart. It's going to be crazy. From 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. in Silver Spring, Maryland, we are taking over Ellsworth Drive. That's the whole street.
That's right.
Everything on the street's going to be lined up with tents, and we're going to have a 10x10 tent this Sunday.
And I'm not prophesizing this now, and I'm not trying to jinx it, but I think it's going to be a good day. I think it's going to be sunny.
Actually, you know what? I should look that up because I have the touch with me.
That's right. Yeah, she has the touch. Not the pad. Not the maxi pad, but the touch. The
now
feeling.
How
the fabric of your life.
You know, no one ever talks about the touch. I will say. It's basically like an iPhone, but without the phone. And mine has no camera in it.
Here's your news update music.
The weather for Sunday, which we're reporting on a Tuesday. So, yeah. Doesn't even appear on my touch yet because we haven't gotten to Sunday yet. it only reports for Saturday, but I will say Saturday.
Well, Saturday is close enough, right?
It's a bright sunny sun and it says high 80, low 58.
That's right.
So 80 degrees, let's just go with that. So you know what? Good weekend for you to see us on Sunday. Come by our booth. It's going to be labeled under Curls Studio. And I will be soon.
It's labeled under Curl Studio.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Like, you know, come
are we
going to
have
booth?
A label underneath us?
Yeah, like on our sign, we'd say Curl Studio. So you're going to find our booth. And you know what? In advance, I will probably put up a map. And you can also see it on the Handmade Mart site. But I will be posting in the next few days a map where you can actually locate us
on the
map and visit our 10-foot by 10-foot booth.
Now, we won't be doing a Carolyn and Joe show live, but you can come by and talk to us and, you know, buy everything that's on our table because, you know, we're trying to make a living, too.
And just to clarify about last week's show when I was talking about people that stay at the booth for too long, I don't mind it if the conversation is going well, but if you're just hanging out, like I'm babysitting you or something.
Like Babysitter's Club?
Yeah, like that, then that's, you know, you gotta just, basically the whole emphasis of telling that story last week, you can search it in the archives, but the whole emphasis of telling that story last week was just to say you gotta know when to make your entrance and your exit when you talk to people.
I think
what do you feel about that, like when you talk to people, like just anyone in general, and also specifically when you first meet them, how long should the conversation be? Because I'd say no more than 20 minutes.
Well, for me,
unless it's going swimmingly.
I mean, for me specifically, I guess I always have to have some sort of, like, I guess our, you know, motive in this conversation, I guess. If I want to break it down, is this going to be like a business conversation?
I'm just trying to meet somebody.
Am I just talking to the person at the party that has no one else to talk to? Because I do that. Whenever I have been at a party before, a lot of times, whether it was high school or even maybe in college, I've had that sort of tendency to go scope out and go, like, just browse through the audience to see who is that one person that's not really talking to anybody. And then I feel like that's the person that I need to talk to. Wait. That one antisocial person, I need to connect with that.
See, but you're going with the antisocial person. You're bringing them in.
Well, because we're all in the same field, right? We don't want to talk to other people like that. Not that I'm saying that I won't talk to anybody. I feel like I talk to I feel like I talked to millions of people.
Like, I want to actually talk to everybody. I'm like totally all about that. Like, it's awesome. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, in that case of the scenario that I described last week with the girl just hanging out at our booth for like over an hour and like not actually really talking some of the times and just hanging out, like, that really felt like I was babysitting her, you know? But I feel like you got to know when to, like,
This person must have really, like, just connected with you to be able to talk that long.
Well, she didn't talk all the whole time with me. After a while, she's just hanging out, like, reading our stuff in front of us and not buying anything.
Well, that's not going to happen this year because I know people are going to come by and say hi. They're going to be like, I heard you on the podcast talking about you're going to be here this weekend, and now here you are.
Yes.
Here you are.
For sure. And I will talk to everybody. I'm not going to put, like, a time limit and be like, okay, your 20 minutes is up. You know, but like,
your 20 minutes is up.
But I will talk to everybody, but I'm just saying in general, and it's not about necessarily networking or finding a friend, business or personal. It's none of that. You can't really categorize it. Basically, the time, like, meter basically is like you got to know when to make your exit.
Now let's talk about networking for a couple of minutes or whatever for however long we're going to do it. I find, like, you know, a lot of people or a lot of organizations, whether it be design, art, whatever, basketball or something like that. Well, maybe not like sports but like I feel that, like, the difference between, like, say, if you work in the arts or if you're doing, like, a professional, you know, you're doing freelance artwork or you're working as a sport, you know how you have a lot of people like, oh, we're a filmmaking group, let's go make a filmmaking group, and or we're a design group, let's go make a group. And I feel there's a tough challenge for me because I find, like, at the end of the day, I feel like we're all vying for the same job. And I always find that to be a little bit of a challenge, unless you all work in different departments. What do you feel about that?
It depends. That's one of those other gray areas, where, like, I mean, I guess for filmmaking, I can really see it being
maybe that's
like,
just me being overly competitive.
But for, like, design, like, there's all different types of designers. You could be an interactive designer, you could be a print designer, you can be a, like, environmental designer. There's so many different types. Like, there's some people that are specifically just do signage. You know, there's some people that specifically just do web and they never work on any print materials and they will never be designing. Or, like, even there's museum design, like people that just focus on exhibit design. So I feel like once you carve your niche, and then there's niches within the niche, and then there could be, like, something like Society of Publication Designers, you know, there is actually that. So, like, those people work on magazines all the time and, like, and they have their own group too. So, yeah, everyone's vying for their own job, but I think it's a matter of professional development. I think it's good to be involved in those organizations because you can put it on your resume and you can say, hey, I'm doing this stuff, like, outside of my day job. I'm going above and beyond this category.
Because there's a thing that sort of happens to me, and I don't know if it happens to you. Maybe it does. Maybe it happens to you guys out there at home, where you meet some new people out there. And I'm not saying it's a negative thing to go out and meet new people or to try to be friends, but sometimes I feel that, like, the only reason why this specific person is ever talking to me is trying to steal my secrets or trying to find out exactly about every little thing that I do. And I feel that, like, after a while, you know, I mean, like, in the beginning, I was like, oh, this guy, you know, this guy or girl or this kid is trying to learn or trying to, like, get into it. But then after a while, I start to realize that, like, it feels like it's just blatantly stealing. It's just,
well,
blatantly trying to find out.
Are you in, like, a mentor position with this person?
This is, like, a lot of times, I feel like I just get emails, and they're like, and they're not, it's not even really, like, hi, or it's not even like, oh, how
people
you, how
just
you
want
doing this?
Free information,
and they're
that's
just
what
like,
it comes down to.
And they're
to.
Like, oh, I saw you did this, how did you do that? You know, stuff like that. And I'm all like, who the hell are you? It's not like I've ever met you. It's not like I grew up with you. Like, I understand, like, with Cooney or even Brian, we all make films, we all do work together. And, like, so you sort of built up that relationship where, yeah, you are going to share information with each other. But I feel like, and it's also, I feel like that might be earned, but I do understand, like, maybe just asking someone, like, oh, man, how'd you do that? And also, part of me feels, now the new me, I guess, feels like I'm not going to give so many people, not going to reveal so many of those secrets.
You're going to be like Chris Angel. You'd be like, you have to buy it on my DVD that costs $100.
I feel like maybe it sounds like an asshole and everyone wants everything for free, but it's also at the same time I earned that for, like, it's like there's a lot
well,
of answers.
Well, no, I think
that
it's just like the way our society is, like, internet these days. Like, people just demand this answer, or, like, they shoot off an email to be like, how do you do this? Or, like, show me how do you make films, or how, what should we do with this? And like, can I interview you and stuff like that? I feel like people just want that information for free.
And I feel like, because for me, maybe some people will come up to me, it's like, oh, how'd you shoot that? Oh, what's your, what was the, and they're not, you know, they're not like an interviewer or like a newspaper or something. And they're like, oh, what is your process? How did you do this?
I mean,
and
they then obviously I see them, want to steal your secret.
But that's the thing is like, I feel like I've, you know, I don't want to be a dick or anything, but I feel like I've seen like, you know, I don't want to put over my work more than it is, but sometimes I feel like, oh, this person took that idea that I just worked on with them and they just did it with someone else. Or they took the same thing I did and tried to copy it, but they don't have my, you know, 10 years of, or 20 years of experience in this.
There was like specifically one photo that you showed me of this model that, or you had a photo shoot with this model and then she went out like, I don't know, less than a month later. And you showed me photos that she took with like a different photographer. It was like the same type of shots. Yeah. Like, why are you redoing the photo shoot that you just did?
I feel like that's like bullshit. It's also, I feel like maybe like that's the photographer's like, oh, I like that shot of you. I'm going to do exactly how it is.
Yeah, see, so like, I don't know the inner workings of that. It's either like, what if she went up to this other photographer and was like, oh, look what Joe did for me. And then he's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Let's do some more of that. You know, like maybe some ignorant person just went out there and did something like that.
I mean,
they're ignorant, no, in the words of Michael Jackson.
No, I can't really decipher if I've ever done that. Like, I have.
Or what if the model was like, hey, I want more of this stuff? I don't know.
Then why not just fucking ask me?
I don't know. No, I don't know. Maybe she's like, I like this style. Can you do this for me too? Like, I don't know. Maybe people are just like so uninventive that they're like, oh, I will do exactly what this person just did.
Yeah, so like after seeing a lot of that, or also like I feel like people tend to not credit me like on work. You know, a lot of times where, you know, you don't get enough credit. I've been through school, like going through college in film school and doing photo, majority film. That's what I am. I felt like I've overly credited people for work. Like, that's my way of saying like, thank you. You know what I mean? Thank you for all your hard work. I'm putting you over above me. And then sometimes I'd see people who have busted my ass. And that's actually one of the first things that I've reacted to. Like in college, I completely like lit and shot one person's project, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that person's gonna remain nameless, but they probably know who they are if they're listening to this. And, you know, thanks for listening to this show. When they finally showed the film, I'm like, cool, you know, I'm gonna get credit, because I always get that person at least like a proper credit. They get like, oh, directed by blah 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 blah, and acted by blah 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 blah. Boom, at the very end, thanks to this person and this person, this person. Like, I, you know, I get
did
group.
You get a thank?
I got the thanks with
10 other people.
I got the thanks with 10 other people, maybe ranked number 3. And I'm all like, wait a minute, can't you at least give me, I mean, when I first saw that, I was like, oh, cool, I got a thanks. But they don't, people
but
don't know what I did.
More than just a thanks.
It's also like, people don't know what I did. And people don't know what I did, you know what I mean? Like, they're like, oh, you get a thanks. But how are people supposed to know that I butts in my ass? And, you know, so that happened at the beginning of college, and that sort of affected me. I was like, there's no way I want to discredit anybody.
You know what, though? This is the other thing, though. Overall, in the arts, it would never happen in any other, like, profession, usually. But then with arts, it's always, like,
because you want to go to basketball, they're all like, I want to thank my coach, my team was good.
Yeah, like, but not even that. Like, any other, like, working field, like, I don't know, doctors, dentists, plumbers, and I don't know, they don't really thank each other, but, like, they still get, like, a credit, they get paid, but whereas, like, other people come up to, like, artists or filmmakers, they'll be like, hey, man, can you shoot this commercial? It's real easy. It's only, like, 20-second bit, you know, 20-second spot. We can do this. Or, like, somebody's like, hey, can you draw this, like, cartoon for me? You know, I just need it real quick. You know, like, stuff like that. And I'm like, just need it real quick doesn't help me out.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And then in addition,
what
it's
the
like,
fuck does
you're,
I
not,
need it new
you're not really paying me. So it's like, you don't go up to a dentist and you're like, oh, man, my tooth really hurts so bad. I need it fixed real quick. Like,
I need it quick right now.
And also, I'm not going to pay you.
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck?
Like, no one does that to any other profession. But artists, I don't understand, like, how that all works out, though. But it, like, that's how it's been. Like, artists, like, I guess don't really get that recognition. But then at the same time, there are artists that, like, do stuff for free. I can understand, like, you know, you're trying to build your portfolio. I can understand certain things. But that's more for, like, college-age kids, you know? Like, if you're in your early 20s we're like, you know, late teens, early 20s, I can understand like doing stuff for free, you know, or on the cheap. Like,
because that's your in.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like you're getting your foot in your door, you're building your portfolio. But I'd say, like, really honestly, once you reach age 25 or 26,
it's all, 24 it's almost.
Like,
I mean, really.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's just be, like, technical here.
Really, when you get your 20s.
Like, well, actually, like, once you even get your first couple jobs out of college, your first gigs, it's like you deserve to be paid. You're a professional now at this point, you know? So I just don't understand how, like, but with any other profession, like, people that aren't really artistic, like, don't understand that, though. They're just like, can't you just draw something for me on paper? Like, a little drawing for me? Yeah. Like, it's like, it's not, like, people need to get paid. People need to eat, you know?
And I feel like it was almost, I remember, like, one time, like, I got back, I think we got back from, like, New York Comic Con or something like that, one of the shows, and I was really excited, and I was telling the other crew members that I was working with, you know, I think I was telling one of the higher-ups, I forget, maybe it was a DP or something like that back when I wasn't shooting, and I said, like, yeah, like, we have our books there, you know, and people are buying it and stuff like that, and, like, a lot of people are really enjoying it, and we have the, you know, it's good stuff, blah, 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 and they go, like, oh, so you're just doing it for the money. And I'm all like, mother, are you really just telling me I'm just doing it for the money?
And while we're just actually assuming that we make money.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also like, oh, because I was talking about like, yeah, like, oh, so how do you price it and blah, 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 and art and stuff like that. And I was like, and they were like, oh, so, you know, they came back with me. So you're just doing it for the money. And yeah, I feel that specifically in that environment of what we were just doing, you know, we're shooting an industrial, not the most exciting product ever. He has the gall to say, like, oh, you're just making comics for the money. I was like, I don't think anyone really just makes comics for the money. I don't think anyone really does any of that.
I can't even name any name. Even people that have been successful in the comics industry, I don't think that's how they originally started out, you know?
And I understand, like, keeping that, like, mystique of the artwork.
Like Mark Millar or Frank Miller or something. You don't.
Yeah.
I don't really think that, like, maybe in their back of their mind, they're like, hey, this could be big one day, you know? Like, they thought that obviously something was there enough for them to create it. But, like, I don't think that they're all like, I'm going to be Uncle Scrooge, like, just rolling in money and, like, taking a bath in money and stuff.
But one of the things I was trying to bring up was, like, oh, that type of mental aesthetic. Oh, you're just doing it for the money. Like, when I first heard that, that sort of triggered a memory I had from college. Like, when you go into college, your whole entire idea was like, well, I'm in film school because I'm in film school. You know, this guy, we're going to work on a film and I can fucking do this for free. You know, I love it so much, I want to do it for free. And that's sort of like, it's, yeah, that's an amazing thing. And there are a lot of projects that I would definitely work for free if I really believed in it, you know, if I'm invested in it. But it's also, like, weird how it's like getting paid back then almost felt like it was evil. It's like, oh, yeah. Why are you charging at all? Even when I had when I premiered my first feature film, like, down in Richmond, they're like, oh, $3? Why are you even charging anything, man? You know, it's like, what? Are you serious?
I think, dude? Like, also, that's the other,
why,
like,
are you charging anything? You should be giving all this for free.
That's another thing about arts in general, is that
it's like, what, you buy people, food for free? What? You
people, get food, like, for free? Just expect it to be free, and I don't think the internet's really helping it, to be honest with you. So that's kind of like, I think also with webcomics, people,
you know, we're giving this show for free.
And so, including myself, this is what I'm getting at, is like, we're providing so much content for free. Like, I have the Curls webcomic, which is every Monday and Thursday. curls-studio.com/curls.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, that's out there for free. And, like, eventually I want to, like, rev up the merchandise section. So at least, like, I can get some proceeds going into, like, creating the webcomic. So it's more of, like, this deal. It's like, hey, if you like the Curls webcomic, buy something from the store. But if you can't, at least, like, tell a couple friends about it. Or, like, put on Twitter or put a link on Facebook. Be like, I really enjoy this comic, you know, and just spread the word. Like, I'd appreciate that. But I really feel like after a while, it's like we're giving all this stuff for free. We give the podcast once a week for free. There's got to be a way to, like, monetarize. How do you pronounce that? Monetarize.
Get money, basically.
Get money. Monetarize or whatever. Like, get money for, like, what we're doing. And because, like, we get monies from other ways. But I guess, like, we need to figure out. And there's also, like, so many other webcomics that have the same issue. I wouldn't call it a problem, but
And this is what business plans.
It's also a self-promotional piece too, but
you know, this is also what business plans are about. You know, plans to get rich. They make the word business plan sound so like official, like, oh, this is a business plan. Really, it's just like a scam to get rich.
Yeah, a scam.
I picture it's a scam to get rich. Well, that's
also,
how it is.
Like, I don't have documentation on this, but honestly, I don't really see like that many webcomics, like people actually making enough money to make a living off of it. Like, there's probably seriously
really,
under 10.
You got to earn over $40,000 a year to, like...
Not even more than that.
To make a living.
If you're in a major city.
Yeah, so you got, it's like, how do you make this when everyone's clicking it for free? That's the real, like, how do you do this? And what is the breakdown of that plan? It's like, you must...
And I don't have any advertising on the site, but a lot of people have advertising for, like, it's like a cent a day. And it's like, at that point, it's like, I don't even want to have advertising up to clutter my page to earn, like, 2 cents a day. It's like, who cares?
And that's like
some people make more, but.
So it's, yeah, say if you got to earn like $40,000 a year, right? And you break it down, what is that per month? Not good with math off the top of my head, but that's a lot per month. $40,000 divided by 12.
Plus taxes. This is getting too complicated.
But see, that's what I'm saying, is that like, it's amazing how like in college and that whole aesthetic of like, oh my God, you're going to do this for free? Or how can you get paid for this? Oh, you're charging too much. It's like, motherfucker, how else am I supposed to live?
But I also think that, like, artists, though, like, I think in general, like you're saying, like, if there's a really good project, any artist would be like, oh my God, I'm in love with this project.
Oh, yeah,
I must do it, and, like, I need to be do it. I would do it for free type deal. But that's not the way the world works. So that's why...
That's a romantic notion of
yeah.
all, like,
and I think
oh,
every artist
art.
Has that, though. Like, whether you're a photographer or designer or whatever, anybody,
but
filmmaker.
In all truth, what they're really doing... Whenever they talk like that, if they're still making a living, you know, if they're still somehow living in a nice place and they're all like, look at my art piece. I always believed it's one thing. They're overcharging like crazy for their work. It's like $10,000 a piece or something like that. Either that or they're hiding the fact that they're hiding and not telling anyone about their boring ass work. You know, that's what, you know, like the work that gets the money.
I really related with Adam Carolla. I heard the other day how he was like saying how now he's getting paid. But like, you know, 20 years ago, he's still slumming it. He was working as a construction worker doing comedy late at night.
Yeah.
And like, he was like saying that now when he's getting paid, it almost makes up for like the 15 years that he wasn't getting paid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you deserve the money then. You know, it's like, hey, if you're that much in demand, then go for it.
You know, If you can get, I'm not going to get mad at anyone who can get paid. Like at the end of the day, if you can get paid, get as much money as you possibly can, because money at the end of the day, you're just going to give it away anyway. So it's like it's sort of like a temporary thing that you're just going to, you know, it's like trade. You're just going to trade it in for something. One thing that does make me mad though, on the same subject, or one thing that does make me upset on the same subject of people trying to ask me for information. And again, this is probably me being like probably stupid at the same time, giving out like, person's like, so how much do you get paid? And blah, 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 blah. And they're like, oh, so what's usually the rate for this? And then, you know, this new upstart kid or anyone that I'm like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And then next thing I hear is they're getting the same rate that I was just given. I was like, wait a minute, but that dude doesn't have my fucking experience. He doesn't have the game that I roll. He doesn't have the knowledge. He doesn't have what I bring to the table. He doesn't have any skills at all. Why does he have the goal to charge that rate? You know what I mean?
But are people paying him that rate?
I don't know, but I feel that's the charge he's getting. In my head, I'm like, well, fuck you. My rate's going up. But then again, it's all like, you know, I feel like I'm stupid in that sense. But at the end of the day, I really shouldn't have said anything.
You gotta learn to be protective of your secrets.
Yeah, so that's really what I've been doing like lately, is just sort of like, you know, it's on a per client basis. And it's also like, I think I just got to be business smart about that. So like, I never really... Also, for one, whenever someone's like, oh, so how much is this going to cost? You know, if I want to do this, how much is this going to cost? I never want to say it out loud to anybody. And I'm like, all right, just contact me. We'll have a meeting about it later, or we'll do an email, or you tell me more about the project. I can't just say a flat rate. But if I ever do, I say, like, but that's like nothing. That's like the bare minimum right there. You know what I mean? And I'll tell you specifically what this is. But like for people who are like trying to, you know, like usually, I don't want to sound like a dick, but whatever. I'll sound like a dick. If someone's all like, so Joe, how much do you get paid for this? You know, I'm trying to figure out what my rate is too. And I'm all like, well, how much experience do you have? Or do you have your own? You know, I'll break it down. It's like, this is, it's like, yo, you have nothing that? I don't know what you should charge, man. You get whatever you want, but I know what I can charge. I'm not telling you how I can, because, you know, and that just really, at the end of the day, it makes me feel slimy of just talking about money. So yeah. I'm like, I just want someone else to get the money, and I just want to show up and already... I want.
Well, how do you feel about like somebody that's like a name value, like Tim Burton or something? You're saying that like these artists get paid whatever $10,000 to sell a piece of art. You know, like Tim Burton can seriously just draw a stick figure in 2 minutes, and it would be for $10,000.
Because someone's gonna pay that too.
Yeah. See, so do you, so I think he earned that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like I feel like I've earned my rate at the same time. You know, that's what I'm trying to say is I feel like I've earned this and the relationships I've built up. So this person, you know, it seems, you know, I don't want to take away from him making money, but it's
so
also like
you
earned
things. He comes up to Tim Burton. He's like, hey, Tim, how much did you make for Alice in Wonderland? Like, I mean, like, does he think he's at that level?
But it's also like I bet Tim Burton is smart enough at this point to be like, come on, man, just go to talk to my agent, talk to my manager.
His salary is probably on IMDb anyway.
Yeah, it probably is. But
I mean, like, because they're like out in the public eye that much.
Yeah.
The wheeling and dealing of Hollywood.
And I feel like it's a situation where I just really don't want to talk about money like to people.
I guess you learned your lesson.
Even to clients.
It's kind of like, you know, you got to, like, I guess learn your lessons early. I think that anybody in the entertainment industry, like, goes through a few mistakes early on.
They learn how to handle themselves or they have a manager.
So I guess, like, you know, I mean, eventually you're going to need an agent, so... Like, we'll like learn from that. But I guess this was a good lesson for you.
And a lawyer.
I mean, so if you know of any agents or lawyers, astrayproductions.com.
Or Joe Carabeo.
Joe Carabeo.
Or goastray@tumblr.com. I'm starting that Tumblr thing. I really wanted to jump on board. If any of you been to the Astray Productions website, you know, we have all the stuff. I've changed the link of the news section. We'll now go to the goastray@tumblr.com. And I feel it was just easier for me to update quicker for me. I felt like it was something where it became a real big hassle for me to continuously do the news. And it's like this, it's like a 10-step process of like getting from one point to another.
You streamlined it to make it easier.
Yeah. If you go to the astrayproductions.com website and you go to news, it'll now go to Tumblr, which is now an easier way for me to update. Like on You and Your Touch, could you do that?
I will do it later.
You'll do it later.
I don't want to be looking at the internet while on the radio show. But we do have some questions that came in.
We have questions, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, I guess late in the day, I posted that we're going to be taking some questions for the radio show. And we have a couple. They are actually wrestling-based.
Really?
Yes. All right, this is from Real Chico Fiesta on Twitter. He says, I have no idea what the subject is. I'm just throwing this out. But favorite period in wrestling, DX or NWO? Joe, I will have you answer that question.
Oh, I thought you were going to answer that first.
Well, I don't know. I don't really have a period in wrestling that I can say is my favorite. But I do like cartoony wrestling, the high-flying characters, and anybody that has, like, a really cartoony character. Like, anybody that's, like, I don't know. Like, I like Evan Bourne. He's like high flying and
all right. So let's reassess. What was the question specifically again?
I'm not referencing DX or NWO in my answer, but he says favorite period in wrestling, DX or NWO. I guess are those our only like choices?
Wait. Favorite
period.
Period in wrestling, DX or NWO.
Yes.
I don't even know if we can assess. I don't even know if that's a properly phrased question because when we talked. Well, all right. So he said era. No,
period.
He said period. Yeah, periods. So. What is a period? Period is like it happens every month or something like that.
Yeah.
So that happens quarterly, like every.
So what's your favorite like blood moment every month?
But see, like that's DX and NWO. That's almost like a period in wrestling history that existed at the same exact time.
Well,
like
I guess
DX
maybe
and NWO.
he wants you to pick or something. I don't know. I don't know.
So he's making pick sides between NWO and DX.
I guess. I guess you could answer it that way, and then also answer what's your favorite time period of wrestling.
Well, let's see, Carolyn. Let's make this. Let's break. Let's get into our wrestling talk.
Break
here.
The walls down.
Let's break the walls down. Okay, NWO. NWO. For those of you who don't know, that's basically
New World Order.
That is the New World Order that started with an angle. In WCW during 1996, I'd say the summer of 1996, probably about this time, about Memorial Day, 1996. That's when Razor Ramon, aka Scott Hall, invaded WCW Monday Nitro. And everyone thought at that time, he interrupted the match, and everyone thought at that time that it was, in fact, a WWF invasion. So there was a bunch of buzz like, holy crap, someone from WWF, and this is during the Monday Night Wars when they had a show on Monday nights at the same time competing for ratings. So of course, you know, their WCW was making fun of WWF trying to get some buzz going, and all of a sudden we see Scott Hall, and we're like, holy crap, is this WWF's that's their answer, is sending one of their biggest guys over? And this is way taking consideration, like, the internet wrestling community, the IWC, right now is massive. Everyone knows everything that's happening. Back then, it was just sort of, you know, it was starting to burst, so no one knew what was true. Everyone, you know, kayfabe was still alive, so everyone thought it was still real. So when
it
you
is
have
real,
yeah, it is real. Wrestling is real. Real people are fake. But during that time when they had when Razor Ramon came into WCW, they thought like it was a real invasion. Like, oh crap! So, you know, you've never seen this before. Two competing companies.
An alien
coming.
Invasion.
Yeah, it was like a real invasion at them. So everyone thought it was real. And then what happened after that? The next week, Kevin Nash came in, and now we have a whole buildup of a team of supposed WWF guys invading on WCW. So, and then they're all, then, you know, this builds up to their big show in the summer. I believe it was either July or June. This was built for like two months. It was massive. People are like, oh my God, I can't believe what's happening. This is real? Is this fake? Are they really trying to shut down the other company? And then, you know, they had a big storyline that built up to Bash in the Beach. Three of the top guys in WWF. Or no, WCW, Sting, Luger, and Macho Man were going to face Hall and Nash. You know, the guys everyone thought was from WCW at that time, they changed it. They changed it a little bit. It was just outsiders now. They've clarified that it wasn't WWF guys, but they were working independently. But still, everyone was like, oh my God, now we have this. So it's 2-on-3, and they said they have a mystery guy, which is really interesting. I thought it was amazing. This is the first time I ever really was enhanced in the storyline of like a mystery partner. You know, who is this mystery partner? And WCW, I felt like, brought it up properly as thinking it could be someone in WCW too. So now you have this whole trust issue that's happening. Who's going to be the one that turns on WCW? Who's going to be this one? Who's going to be that one? So now you have like inner turmoil, basically developing Bash the Beach, 2-on-3. Lex Luger goes out with an injury supposedly. So now 2-on-2 match. And now, all of a sudden, everyone's out on the floor, and guess who walks out? Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan comes in, and everyone's all like, he's on the side of WCW.
Hulkamania,
he's the one, he's going to stop these outsiders once and for all. End of the story, Hulk Hogan is the traitor. Bam! NWO is formulated, and then you have the biggest storyline that runs wild. Hulk Hogan, who's been a good guy for his whole entire career, turned bad, joined the side of the outsiders, made the NWO. I thought that idea was hot. That actually got me fired up about wrestling. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe this. Because really what happened, this was like this was a response to like your era of wrestling when it was all cartoony. WCW Nitro wanted to make a wrestling show that was complete opposite of WWF at that time, so they made something more real, a little bit more gritty.
That means that I should dislike NWO.
That is true, but that's not the question. We're talking about DX and NWO, I guess.
Yeah. But so tell people about DX.
Well, DX,
that's Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Now let's see. Let's go back, because DX, I feel like, to me, started off. DX is a formation of Shawn Michaels, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, John Paul Lafique, whatever. Hunter Hearst, Triple H, and China. Now, to bring up why...
Did they come before or after NWO or at the same time?
They came up after this. But its roots are in the roots of the NWO. Because there was this moment in WWF called in Madison Square Garden called the Curtain Call Incident, I believe. Because they knew, WWF knew that the contracts of Hall, Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, and Kevin Nash were already up. You know, they already knew that they were going to be leaving the company. This was before they invaded Nitro, right? So what happened was that they did a curtain call incident while the last show they had at Madison Square Garden. They all came out, and Kevin Nash, Shawn Michaels, what's his name, Triple H, and Razor Ramon, they all went up and, like, you know, they bowed, like, did their final bow as a group. Because they're part of a group called the Clique, which is basically like, you know, like the higher powers. Like, you know, like when you're in a business, you have your friends and you name them, name of a group. It's like, oh, this is the Clique. This is us. But even though they're all, you know, like Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, you know, they're all different sides. They're all good guys and bad guys, but they weren't, but they were friends in the business. So for them to publicly like throwing the storylines out of the line, throwing heel and face perspectives, you know, out of the door, and like joining forces and saying goodbye publicly in a house show ring, that's sort of like that's like majorly breaking the rules. That's like revealing that wrestling is fake in front of the whole entire audience back then in 96. That's like way before all this stuff happened, and that got a lot of people in trouble. But you know who gets in trouble? Triple H, who is only a mid-carder, he's the one who got majority of the punishment for that happened. Well, Hall and Nash can't do anything or can't be punished because they're already leaving to invade WWF or WCW. And of course, no one can do anything to Shawn Michaels because he's God. So it's like, well, Triple H gets, you know, now he's going to get pushed, and he has to go and job to the Ultimate Warrior in under 30 seconds and stuff like that. And he doesn't get a push until NWO is hot, and WWF at that time wanted a response, right? Shawn Michaels is playing a bad guy. So at that point, because he's playing a bad guy, I think because he's also feuding with Bret Hart. Bret Hart was a good guy, and see, you're blurring those lines. This is the time of blurred lines. So of course, Shawn Michaels needs a partner, right? So he's feuding with The Undertaker around that time, I think. Trying to get these names right off the top of my head. So he chooses Triple H. Him and Triple H. They teamed up. They didn't have a name. But what happened was, I think it was Bret Hart who named them a bunch of degenerates. It's either that or Ric Flair. I don't think it was Ric Flair. But someone called them you guys are a bunch of degenerates. Blah, 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 blah. There you go. They took that name. That's so cool. They took the name like an insult that was called to them,
yeah.
And they harnessed that to themselves and called themselves Degeneration X. So they're basically claiming we're degenerates and this is our time.
Yeah.
So then with that they amped up their persona.
They got their appeal going.
Yeah. So they have their branding. They have their brand. They're like this. They're two outlaws with a girl. Basically, they ran rampant. Doing everything obscene as possible, literally pushing the boundaries of taste and all nastiness. And at the same time, you have the NWO and WCW doing the same exact thing, but later on, they're more storyline based.
Shawn Michaels, he's like very religious, at least
not
now.
Not at that time.
Okay, now at that time, was he wearing all his crosses and stuff?
No. This is the time where he was just like, this is the era which brought him to. Like see God. It's like he did so many bad things. He was not a, like, from what I hear, I'm not like a professional, or I'm not like in the business. I don't want to ever claim to be in the business, but from what I hear, he was a hard person to work with, or to, like, you know, he's a temper, hard person to get along with, you know, hot-headed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he wasn't easy, but
have the best reputation back then.
But it's also like,
as a person,
it's also like, well, he's the best performer they have, and he fucking talks like it. He knows he's the shit. So he's like, you can't fucking touch me. Come on. You know, it's like knowing that persona. He's like untouchable. So he took that and made it into a full-on character. So you can't even, it's like, yeah, that is him. That is him after that.
So what made him like go to the side of God?
That I'm not sure. I think it has something to do.
Did the change progress, or was it kind of like an overnight thing? Like all of a sudden he's like about born again.
Well, let's think about it this way.
Because a lot of wrestlers are born again.
But see, let's think about this. Let's think about this story or this angle at the same time, which is really great. You have a group of friends that are called the Click, right? So you have Justin Credible is in there too, but you know you have Triple H, Shawn Michaels,
China,
and China, which was Triple H's girlfriend at the time. You know, the big girl that just returned to TNA. But so you have them, and you have Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, right? You have two characters. This is what's amazing about a group of friends that I think is really amazing. Those guys, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, went to WCW and blew it up and made it massive, right? Made their characters awesome and took over with the NWO with the right people of Hulk Hogan. Shawn Michaels and Triple H then at the same time build up their character and become huge stars in WWF, like even bigger stars, like trailblazing bad boys at the same time. Think about that. Think about the fact of, like, you have a group of friends that own the wrestling industry. And then you have Six Pac as well, who's part of that, who's or six or 1-2-3 kid who's part of that, who's also in the NWO. You have a lot of guys that have a lot of power. You know what I mean? You have a lot of guys who can do absolutely anything you want in all of wrestling.
Do you feel like Triple H is actually the opportunist of everybody?
Well, I feel like you have to be an opportunist. It's just like they're all freelancers.
But like,
and
even
these are
now,
performers.
Like he's married to like Vince McMahon's daughter in real life.
Well,
he's
here's
married
one.
To Stephanie McMahon. Like, do you think that like he just took that opportunity, like, well, to get involved in the business?
At the end of the day, at the end of the day, like what we were all talking about before. Is that like you gotta make a living, you gotta make money, you gotta keep on progressing in the business. Like, well, if we do, we gotta keep getting better, and then the better we are, the more name value we get, and then we get to, you know, hopefully we'll get paid more. And you know, everyone can look at Triple H and be like, oh, he took the best opportunity and he dated the boss's daughter.
Yeah.
Right? And then he married the boss's daughter. Now basically he's like, running the company. He's going to run the company
he's
right
like
now.
Royalty. It's like Prince William or something.
Yeah. And like,
or he's like Kate Middleton.
Yeah. And like, but at the end of the day, like on paper, that could be like horrible.
Yes.
On paper, that can look, sorry. On paper,
are you just checking
no,
your
no.
email?
On paper, that can be absolutely horrible. But I'm not going to question somebody's love. You know? What
oh
I mean?
No, I'm not questioning like
because
their
you,
love.
Because
and
think
they have
about
kids
the,
now and everything. I'm not questioning that. I'm just basically like wondering if you know of like any tales of
here,
the business
about
how like
this.
And how he like got rid of China and then all of a sudden he's with Stephanie.
Well, I don't
McMahon.
Know. From right here, China was a head case. Stephanie McMahon didn't like China. I bet China was hard to work with because of whatever. Her head probably got too huge.
And also,
you know
China,
what I mean?
Like, I guess a year or two ago, I heard that she tried to commit suicide.
But here, let me...
And that's, like, frightening that somebody tried to do that.
Now, yeah,
know?
Like, yeah, in my perspective or a lot of other people's perspective, you look at Triple H and you look at Stephanie McMahon, you're like, oh, man, Triple H did it right. Now he went for the boss's daughter. Now he's set for life, blah, 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 blah. But also,
he has like the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, so it was like, no, that was a perfect plan by Triple H. But think about this angle too. Think about this total new angle. Think about true love. Think about people who are meant to be together. You have a woman, you know, Stephanie McMahon, it's a pretty good looking woman. She doesn't look bad at all. She's been brought up in the wrestling business. She knows the ins and outs. She's the creative writer. She was there since the beginning.
Yeah.
It's in her blood. She, you know,
she's
and
a McMahon.
She's a girl too. And she, from what I hear, is down, like it's absolutely in her blood and she loves all bits of it and doing stuff, you know, in the wrestling business is part of her business, part of her blood. You have Triple H, which is from the grounds up, you know, grew up in Connecticut or whatever. No, like is a hungry for the wrestling business. And, you know, was constantly learning and wants to be at the top of his game.
My life is wrestling.
His life is wrestling. Yeah, that looks like the perfect opportunity. But at the same time,
they have a lot in common.
Like,
they can build a life together.
Exactly. You have
a dynasty.
It's like you think of that. You're like, wow. If you think about it, they're like, wow, they're actually perfectly. That's a perfect couple right there. It's like, well, you have a guy that loves wrestling and you have a girl that loves wrestling. It's like, oh, you love comics. I love comics, too. And it's like, oh, you write books? I write books, too. Let's team up together and see how good we can get. Boom, relationship. Boom, we're the biggest in the company. Boom, we fucking own the company and we love each other. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not discrediting their love at all, but
no,
it
I'm
just
not saying
seems
that.
Like, it just seems like he took that opportunity to, like, be with Stephanie. But you know what? If it wasn't Triple H, it would have been another wrestler. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, seems like that's how it would work.
Also, I feel like at the same time, it doesn't seem like he's unhappy. In that situation.
Oh no, I don't think that they're unhappy.
But it's also
and
again
I hope that they're not either.
It's a good. It seemed like a good business decision, but also
it's
a
like,
good
it just
life
kind of
decision.
Like reminds
in general.
Me of Edge's character too, because he's like the ultimate opportunist.
Yeah.
Like it just seems like Triple H just always positioned himself in a way where like you said at one time he was just mid-level, you know. And personally, I never really liked Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Not only that, but remember he was punished too. He was punished for showing his being with his friends.
Yeah, you know? Like, I mean, personally, maybe I have some beef against him. I can't really, like, pinpoint a thing that I dislike about Triple H.
I think it's just performance-wise you don't like Triple H.
I just, like, I mean, actually, it's not that I don't like him. It's just that he does nothing for me.
Yeah, character-wise, you don't like him.
He's just kind of, like, a C-plus to me. Like, he's there. He's always consistent, which is good. You know, I give him credit for what he does. But he just, like, never really, like, goes over the bar for me.
But see, he's done good matches. I'd say that he's had good ones with Undertaker, and then good ones with Mick Foley and stuff
yeah.
like that.
But But his star, like, never shines above. You know, like, whenever, okay, like, Triple H, Undertaker. Like, I was more focusing on Undertaker.
I don't think he's ever going to be, like, a super, super brand name. There's always been a saying, there's people who have maintained the business and people who have, what's it called, brought in new business and expanded business. Like, The Rock has expanded business. Hogan has expanded business.
Yeah.
Because they become bigger than the business. Stone Cold has done that. Triple H has just maintained it. You know, he's not like that. Oh my God! You know what I mean? He's a superstar. He's good. He's right. You know, he's the one that keeps it real.
He has the consistency of real wrestling.
And he understands that business and the making of stars.
Yeah.
So
did you never answered my full question about? I guess I'm always curious about Shawn Michaels and his religion for some reason. Even though it's like not,
I don't know.
Really any of my business, truthfully, and I don't really care. But it's just that he comes out with, like, all these crosses. For those of you that don't know, like, this wrestler, it's one thing if you wear, like, one or two crosses, but I'm not joking you. Shawn Michaels comes out with, like, over 50 crosses
on his
outfits.
Now, remember, he married a former Nitro girl, which back in the late 90s, Nitro had girls that danced in between.
Like the Fly Girls.
Yeah, like the Fly Girls that danced in between the commercials, right? And there was one tall one named Whisper. And her and I don't know who, I'm not really sure who... what's it called? Introduced to, maybe it might have been Kevin Nash who introduced, someone introduced them to, but they fell in love, and I think Whisper might have been a born again or a Christian or something like that.
Oh, maybe she influenced
I think that's what happened. Like, his girlfriend influenced,
and then they got married.
Yeah,
that's probably what
also,
it was.
Also,
but, take I mean,
consideration, taking consideration too, like after the one WrestleMania with Stone Cold against Shawn Michaels like had to like pretty much retire because he had a bad back, so he wasn't really doing much of anything.
When he came back and was like super religious.
Yeah, we came back and he's trying to be a better person, so to speak.
I mean, I guess
I don't know what happened then, but
I guess breaking your back
and not being able to walk.
And then he's like, I found God.
Yeah, I guess that's usually what happens.
What I find interesting about it is not like, I mean, I think it's good. Like, he seems like a better person now. But what I find interesting is, like, seriously, like, the visual appeal of his clothing. It's like, dude, do you need
chill out.
Do you need that many crosses?
Well, you know what's even...
Like, this one WrestleMania, I swear to God, he had the crosses, like, dangling off of him like a bedazzler.
You know what I find?
Like, it was intense.
This is what I find even more hilarious. So you have Michelle McCool, complete born again or Christian, has moves called the Faith Breaker,
crosses on her outfit.
Crosses all over her outfit. She's all about God and stuff like that. Who is she married to? The dead man. The demon.
She's married to Undertaker.
She's married to Undertaker. The most bad man in the company looks like a demon. I'm like, wow. What is this?
Another connection where, like, she likes wrestling, he likes wrestling.
But, like, she was part of the Diva Search, so I'm trying to figure out how that... You know, because even Undertaker was married to Sarah, and all of a sudden, like, you know,
his tattoos started getting removed from his neck.
Yeah, I was like, oh, something happened there. You know, but then all of a sudden, I compared Sarah and Michelle McCool, and I'm like, well, if you think about it, Michelle McCool is actually like the more hotter version of his old wife,
and younger.
Yeah, it's like this, like an amp, like it's like a what's it called?
He traded it in.
You traded in for the newer model.
Sleeker. Well, I don't know the
Sarah.
Detail.
Sarah could have been a money hungry bitch that just tried to.
I mean, I don't know. Or maybe he concentrated too much on wrestling and didn't have a family life.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I honestly have no clue about their personal life. But
so again, back to that question before the show ends. The better era, the favorite era, NWO or DX. I'm gonna say this: the beginning of NWO, when it was just the core guys, I thought it was amazing. Like up until that Starrcade and stuff like that, up until like the Sting angle, I thought it was completely amazing. But once DX came in with the Stone Cold and the Attitude Era, that completely, you know, now is a good balance. I'll say that era was amazing. That era and I mean, ECW was my favorite era of that at that time. And then after that, the 80s, the late 80s, all of the 80s were pretty good wrestling, including main ones.
I guess if I had to pick, what would you say is mine? Because I don't know if mine has a title.
Well, you like Razor Ramon a lot.
Back in the day.
It's basically the same thing.
I mean, yeah, I liked him.
But you don't like China or Triple H.
No, not really. I don't care for
so
them.
So it's not like it. It's not like that.
I mean, I just really like good characters, and I like the high-flying moves.
Yeah.
If you can break it down from
there. Well, they both had that. I would say that was a damn good era. That was the best time to watch wrestling at that time was NWO DX. Because if you're tired of one, you can hop on the other. And, you know, that's where those wars really were.
Yeah.
And that was a freaking good question. I never really get a chance to talk about wrestling. I love wrestling.
And we actually have more questions, but we're going to have to save them for a next episode.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I'm sorry about that.
We just got carried away.
Thanks. I think it was Chico. Was that Chico?
Real Chico Fiesta.
Thanks, Chico Fiesta. Chico Fiesta. We're going to have some nachos, man. Going to chill out, have some nachos. But yeah, hey, we'll talk about wrestling all day long if we could,
but
maybe next
time.
But
the day has ended.
That's right. Well, there you go. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
I hope you all had a good time. We'll see you this weekend at the
Handmade Mart. Join us in Silver Spring.
Have a conversation that we either offend or entertain. That's us.
Yes.
All right, there you go. Have a good night, everybody. See you later, Carolyn.
Adios, amigos.
Stay positive, people. I'm the kind of human wreck. Is that your love?